All right, I think we're all set. Yeah, the message is leaving home. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, my message was coming home. And now we're leaving. It's kind of funny in a way, but actually the two go together hand in hand. And we'll see. I've got some scripture verses, one old, most of them New Testament. And the concept is, when we're looking at this particular thing, really when we're coming to God, we've got to be leaving something, right? And that's what we're leaving, this home, but we're going to be, you know, coming to God's home. And so I wanted to do the coming home first, because the only way we can get to the Father is through Christ. And this is why we emphasize Christ, because of what He has done for us. He has died on the cross for our sins, so that He's paved a way to restore us into that relationship with God, the way it was originally set up back in the days of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But we still have this thing around us called the sinful world and stuff, and we get sometimes pulled away. Well, this message here today is talking about leaving home, and it's leaving the earthly things that we have and the things that we don't need, but yet we carry stuff with us all the time. And so the thought is, we're going to be looking at leaving home. Let me begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll go right to the scriptures. Father, I just thank You for this time that we have, and I thank You for this word, that we can just kind of share and really just allow us to digest what's being brought forth by You. Allow the Spirit to take the words that are spoken and just meld them into our physique, our spirit, our mind, and let it be part of that foundation in which we stand on when we stand on Christ. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we talk about leaving, and very, very, very beginning in Genesis, it talks about leaving something in order to be joined together with something else. And when God starts talking about the initial plans that He has for us, one of those initial plans and the way He's made our lives is that we are to marry, right? And there's some scripture in here that talks about when Eve was, created, and there was a bone that was taken out of Adam, and out of that, Eve was created, according to the scripture that we've got. It's kind of neat, but one of the things that was said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, there's something to be said about that, is that the two become one. And it's really the relationship that God wants with us as well, that, we are separate from Him, but when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we really become one with the Father. And that there's a joining that goes along with it. We leave something behind, right? And in this case, when you're talking about it, we're leaving the in-laws behind. Can you imagine, being newly married, and then, on your honeymoon, there's mom, and there's the mother-in-law, and there's dad, and there's the father-in-law. They're going with us when you want to have a private time, and you can't seem to get away from, their recommendations and what they always say. And it really causes a lot of complication with your relationship with your wife or with your husband in there, because there's that influence that you haven't separated from to create your own traditions, to create your own life, to create the type of family that you want, not the type of family that somebody else wants for you. And so this is all in God's plan in terms of leaving something to create something new. And so I brought this in, even though it's not really talking about Christ, but there's many homes that are out there where Christ isn't spoken of. Prayer isn't even mentioned. Reading the Bible is never talked about. And your actions are just based upon what it is that you want done. So that maybe when you leave and start a new relationship, that's the time where you can start to do some changes. And like I remember, I was at the time where Hope and I got married and stuff, I was also thinking about leaving the job that I was at. And I remember talking to my dad about that and saying, I think I really need to leave. For various reasons. It wasn't bad. It was just I wanted something different. And he says, you can always use your marriage as an excuse and everybody will understand. you know? And it's like, it's kind of funny in a way, but you know, when circumstances happen, you can just say, well, I just need to do this now because of what the change in my life. And people may not like it, but they can understand that immediate change that's, you know, so close to you in your life in terms of a marriage, that you want something different. And I did that, and it all seemed to work out. And it was pretty neat. Well, we also look at things that, you know, we need to break away from. And one of those, basically, is like traditions. Jesus talks about that in Scripture. And we need to leave some of those things that tend to hold us back from doing what God really wants us to do. Right? We have these mindsets because we've been taught this particular way, that when something else happens, it's like, well, it doesn't fit within that little box, so obviously it's wrong. Well, that's not necessarily true, but sometimes it's hard to understand. So, for example, Jesus's disciples and Jesus would go around and they'd minister an awful lot. Sometimes they would eat, and get this, they would eat their meal without washing their hands. Yeah. Now, I'm sure nobody has ever done that here in this church, you know, that we're in this setting right here. But I remember even working on the farm, you know, and your hands are greasy and you got to keep working on the job. So, you know, you get a sandwich and you're hanging on to that peanut butter and jelly sandwich with all that grease on your hands. And it was like, you're not holding real tight because you don't want to spread that. But then you eat the whole sandwich and then it's like, you might think, it's probably not a sandwich you want to pass off to somebody because they'll be like, no, thank you. I really don't like peanut butter. But really, really, no, they don't like grease on their peanut butter sandwich. But, you know, I would just down that stuff down. I'm survived. You know, it hasn't affected me at all, really. No, I'm just kidding. But my point is that, you know, we sometimes, you know, have certain ways of doing things. And it's really hard. So, you know, what Jesus basically says to these guys is that, you know, so what? What does that really matter about washing the hands? And the Pharisees were very, very concerned because that was their tradition. You always washed your hands before you ate. And if you didn't, that would have been a sinful thing. So, you know, Jesus starts saying some things that are not very pleasing to the Pharisees. And the disciples come back and say, Jesus, you know, those things that you're saying are really offensive to the Pharisees. Because that was their tradition. And it was all about washing the hands. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter what goes in the mouth, it's what comes out of the heart is what's important. You know, food is food. And that's just, you know, stop taking that if you eat healthy food that you're going to have healthy words, because that doesn't really work. Right? We've got to have those things that have come out. So look at this here. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 15, 13 through 14. He says, he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Well, who do you think he was talking about? He was talking about those Pharisees, right? And how is it that he could call the Pharisees something that God had not planted? Well, it's because the Pharisees had their own agenda. And their agenda was not really about seeking God, but it was maintaining control of the Israelites through tradition and through law and to make themselves you know, important in life. And that's what they wanted to maintain. They really had no idea who God was, because when God came to them, Jesus, they got offended by the things that he said. Because it wasn't what they were taught, and they didn't want anything new. And anything new would be in a disruption of what they've already learned, and it would cause them to question what they've already learned, and we don't do that, do we? Because it makes waves. Well, really, God says we're supposed to test the spirits, right? And challenge them and see what they is and have some discussion about that sort of thing here. And this is what Jesus is doing. He says, basically he's saying, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. So that work that is not within God's will, guess what? It becomes nothing. It dies out. Jesus says that if you are not attached to the vine, right, you cannot do good work. So we need to be attached to the vine, the true vine, which is God and His Spirit. And it talks about here that if, you know, if there's a person that's not attached to the vine, leads another person, then the two of them basically are blind. They have no idea what they're doing. They think they're doing God's work, but they're not. And that stuff becomes nothing. They fall into this pit and they never know the truth that kind of goes along with it. These are hard words that Jesus is saying. Does that mean I should leave my church? Well, if they're not preaching God's word, maybe you should. Because it's not really a church. Is there something, you know, that, you know, we've always done this particular tradition? Does that mean I should not do that? Speak to God about that. You know? That's really where we need to be at in terms of deciding whether something is right or wrong. Ask God. And He'll lay it upon your heart. I know, He always does that. Right? And there'll be, as Hope and I were talking here this past week, there will be confirmation of what God wants you to do. And I think that's important to know, because sometimes we're out on our own limb, it seems like, and we never really know. But it's important to have somebody to, you know, bounce something off of, or to be, you know, and just ask God for confirmation, because that's the way God works. He gives those pieces of information to us. And I don't want anyone to be attached to something that is wrong, because it leads you down that wrong path. And you're not really focusing on God, but you're focusing on something else. And you think you might be doing it for the right reasons. And there's things that we just need to be challenged for. And I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. Please don't get me wrong on that. I'm just kind of throwing some very ambiguous things out there, just to give us an idea that there's things that we have to leave behind if you want to follow Christ. You have to. And Christ is saying that. It could be even something serious, you know, in this case here with the Jewish temples, that they needed to leave that. We get to the next verse here, and there's three different situations that Jesus is talking about. The title of this little section is Cost of Following Jesus. You know, what is the cost of following Him? So we've got some scripture verses. We're going to go to Luke. Oops. If I can go back. Maybe not. All right, here we go. Luke 9, 57 through 26. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him. Now, if you go back to look at Matthew in here, it says a Pharisee asked him. So this man is going to be a person of position within, the Jewish culture. He says this: I will follow you wherever you go. You know, has anybody ever made a proclamation before? Or maybe somebody has made a New Year's resolution and said, I will, right? Or I won't, whatever that might be. And we know how those New Year's resolutions go. But it says right here, it says, I will follow you wherever you go. Which, those words are very powerful words. And they're great to be able to listen to, because, you know, whatever you say, Lord, I will do. And we like to say that with God, but then all of a sudden when it starts to get a little difficult, all of a sudden when, you know, there's some distractions, say, on the side, we always say, oh, just wait a minute, God. Maybe not so. And Jesus says this, and it seems like it's a funny, funny way of responding to that. But He says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Well, if you are back in an agricultural society, do you like foxes? No. They're really an enemy, right? They're the ones that are going to steal your chickens. They're the ones that they're going to steal the food. They're the ones that are going to, you know, cause havoc on your particular farm and the places where you are. So foxes are not something that we really want. So something that's a hindrance to man working. Jesus references and said, even those evil things seem to have homes. And then those birds, you know, where they talks about this, birds have nests that they go to and stuff. Again, birds, I've seen this before, where a farmer will be planting a field, and then the next day there's a flock of crows that are out there picking up every seed that the farmer just put right in the ground. Or is it, you know, the seedlings are coming up and they're just kind of chomping them. The birds are scavengers. They'll take what they want, you know, especially the crows. And so when we look at this, he says that, you know, these two items that we really don't need in our agricultural setting, they all have homes. But look at here, he says, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, which means it's really difficult to do God's work, and you're going to be on the move. And when you say, you will follow me, and make that proclamation, you know, to me, I would like to have had this person say, Lord, if it is within your will, let me follow you. But this man is saying on his own, I will follow you, which means probably 2 weeks down the road, he's saying, I've had enough of this. He's very quick to say, yes, I'm going to follow you. And then he's going to be very quick to say, I'm doing something different. Because it's not what he intended it to be. And it's kind of scary when we start looking at that. Because sometimes when you start seeing the miracles that Jesus is doing, and you see, you know, the response that the people have around that. Now take this, as a Pharisee, that's what you want. You want recognition. You've always, Scripture talks about the Pharisees taking the best seats within the dinner tables, and the Pharisees always being the first to do this, and all, you know, having those privileges that are there. It appears, you know, if we can look under the carpet in this area here, is that this Pharisee wanted to be able to have the fame and glory that came with doing those miracles. And Jesus is saying, yeah, those miracles will happen, but there's really no fame and glory for you, because the glory goes to God, not you. And when you find that out, you're going to say, well, I don't really want this because I'm not getting the riches that I wanted out of following you. And see, that's a tough thing to go through. And you have to give up these ideas that this having this relationship with God is really about you. It's not. It's about Jesus and what you can do for him. Not, I mean, he does a lot for you, but it's not what he can do for you, it's what you can do for him in that order. And we are, as Tom was saying, very thankful for the things that he does for us, because we don't deserve those things. That's mercy, you know, or grace that has been given out to us. We look at this next one here, where where are my remotes now? Maybe there it goes. Ah, then it goes back up there. Then another man followed. He said to another man, "Follow me." But that man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Again, Jesus comes back with these words. It's like he's not being really nice to this individual. You know, where's the compassion that Jesus shows? He says, "What, you know, your father's dying? Well, let me pray for him. Let me spend some time. Maybe I can go over there and heal him and bring him back up." Jesus said, "Oh, let the dead bury the dead." You know, in reference to, you know, that if they're not believers, right? No matter what you do, you know, they may never ever turn to be believers, even if you go back and you spend some time with them. And so we look at this little section over here, and sometimes what we're looking to do is to kind of secure our future based upon the world versus securing it through Christ. By this I mean that if this was a son and his father died, what would he receive after his father died? But an inheritance. Right? So, first, let me, if his father was sick, or maybe his father had just died, or whatever, but it was important to him to go back and probably receive that inheritance. So that if I could just have that solid base, then guess what? I'll be able to do more of God's work freely and stuff like that. It won't be a problem. But think about this. Even what we talked about before from this other person here, it's not about you and your security. You're not going to have a place of rest doing God's work. Because you never know where the Holy Spirit takes you. Now, He will give you peace and all of that. You'll find that sort of thing. We're not talking about working 24 hours a day and never getting any sleep and stuff like that. God knows you need sleep. And He knows that. He knows what you're going to be able to do. But there's times that He puts you through struggles. As Pat was saying, you know, with their daughter, they were able to spend time with them. And in that time, they still found peace. How is that possible? Well, it's because they keep their focus on God through those situations. And I loved what you said about in their reading that, you know, keep your eyes on me and I will give you, what was it, you have to look that back up again. But it was really cool, you know, just trust Him and He will show you blessings. And I really liked that aspect of looking at that. So sometimes we feel we need to have a worldly security before we can start doing God's work. No. God has given you is enough. And you may say, well, I'm just a very brand new Christian. There's no way I can preach the gospel. No, you preach the gospel based upon what you know. And the truth that's in there. That truth is so powerful. You know, it's more powerful than, you know, the scripture that talks about that mustard seed, you know, being the word of God and how it can grow into be a great tree and everything. That's all it is. It's just God's word is truth. It is solid. It doesn't move. So when that is spoken, no matter who speaks it, it will remain. Because that's how powerful that sort of thing is. So we don't need to rely on the world for us to be able to do God's work. We just need to be able to rely on God and start preaching God the moment we hear from Him. And know that that's Him. There's another situation too where it talks about the cost of following Jesus. Oh, it's probably because I know why now. This isn't facing the right way. Oh, look at that. And still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Now, this isn't all about death or anything, but we're going to go just say goodbye. I'm going to tell them what I'm going to go do. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service for the kingdom of God. You mean I can't even say goodbye? Well, what happens when you decide to go home and say, I'm going to start following Jesus now because the miracles that he's done have really moved me and I want to be with Him and learn all I can from Him. Well, the father's going to say, well, we've got work to do, son. Who's going to do all the chores? Your mother's going to suffer because of you going. And then all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, I guess I can't really go to where Jesus is going to be going because now I've got family commitments and they can persuade you to pull away from that sort of thing. You know, there's times that we can also just have a hard time letting go. You know, going back to the very first scripture that I had where it talks about, you know, the man will leave his dad and his mother and be joined with his wife to be made one. There are sometimes very difficult situations where the man doesn't let go of his mother. Right? He just can't let go. Because mother's always been there as a comfort, as a guide and stuff. And he's not willing to let go of that, leave home, leave his own comforts, and the security that you have in that, and to just follow Jesus. Jack Bango, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying anything about this, but Jack had an epiphany about God. This is going back years and stuff like that. And at his place of work, he became kind of like an ugly person. It was just amazed that the story, and I heard this secondhand from my friend Kevin Alburn. And Kevin was telling me, he says, yeah, he's like completely changed. He's like talking about Jesus all the time now. And you know, he went back to his brother and asked for forgiveness from his brother, you know, and said he was sorry for the things that he did. And he's like, that's not even Jack. How is that even possible? And it's like, it was such a neat movement to be able to see. Not that, I mean, that Jack was able to do that, but other people were able to witness him change like that. And how that did. I'll tell you, Jack never went back. You know, in terms of his love for the Lord, his gentleness that came out of all of that, right? He was willing to let go of all those things, those angers that he had, his grievances with other people. Why? Because he had something new, something fresh, and he wanted that over those other things. And he was willing to let go of everything so that he can have Christ in his fullest. He needed to say apologies and to ask for forgiveness, right? But sometimes we have a hard time doing that. We can't let go because there's grudges that we tend to hang on to, and it's really difficult to do that. Well, let me tell you what happens. And there's scripture here that talks about sewing a new cloth into old cloth and putting old wine or new wine skins in with old wine, or back and forth. Let me just read it. It's better that way. Matthew 9:16-17 says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out of the wineskins, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. When you look at this, it's like, what are we talking about when we're talking about clothing materials and stuff like that, and we're talking about wineskins? We're talking about the old ways being mixed with Christ's ways. That you can't mix the two. There is Christ, and then there's the world. Either you allow Christ to be your master, or you allow the world to be your master. Fern has said this before ages ago, and it really stuck with me. You can't have a foot in the world and have a foot in Christ. You will be torn apart. Because you're trying to please the world and you're trying to please Christ. You can't. It's got to be just Christ. Yes, we live in this world. I know that. And there's things that we have to do in order to continue to live. We have to work. We have to earn money. We have to, you know, sometimes sacrifice things. But in all of that, we can be doing God's work. Why? Because we love Him most.
And He already took care of it because they poured new wine into new wineskins. So He made us a new creation. Therefore, we can hold the new wine.
Will you let me finish the message? Because that's my last verse. Yeah, I know. It's like, Pat, you're up here next week. You get that? Yeah. No, that's awesome. Because really, you're in the right track. I mean, that's what I really like to be able to do. Is like, I'm feeding you some lines and getting you on a track in which to think in terms of leaving some things. Because there's reasons for that, right? And we've got that. All right, so I want to just go to this one right over here and to look at the calling that Jesus had for some people. And we'll go back to his disciples. I forget about this one here. John 6:66, it says, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. When Jesus started talking about that we needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood, which is kind of a weird concept, right? He means spiritually, not physically. And when people heard this, it was too hard for them to take that in. So you know what they did? Boom. Take it away. I'm done. Right? They weren't willing to accept a new thought, a new concept that God had for them. I shouldn't say new, a concept that should have been there, because they had been taught by the Pharisees so much. And it's difficult to break away from that tradition. Many people will leave God because of that. It's not because they don't say God isn't there. It's because they don't want that to have that level of commitment. And Jesus came to the disciples and said, well, what about you? Are you going to leave too? And they said, no, we've got nothing else. We need you. And they stuck around and everything. So look at this here. In Matthew 4, 18 to 22, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Now, fishermen's a hard job, right? They have to rise really early to get, you know, to get out there. The seas are rough sometimes, and they're dealing with smelly fish, and that gets into the home, and all of that. So that when you're a fisherman, you live fishermen. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, look at this. What was their response? At once, they left their nets and followed him. Did they go back and talk to their father and say, oh, you know, before you die, I need to, you know, get things threaded out? Did they say, well, let's just get all this fish together back into, you know, the net or, you know, the storage container, whatever we had, in order to, so that my father isn't going to have to do all the work? No, they dropped everything to follow Christ. Just like that. Sometimes I feel like there's no way I would be able to do that. I'd feel guilty. But there's something about following Christ that is more important than the guilt that you might experience from doing something like that. He says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Right? They were about ready to go out and capture some more fish. And he said, no, I'm following Jesus. And they did. For those three and a half years. And then after that, the Holy Spirit took hold of them. And they really did some unbelievable ministry out there, proclaiming the Word of God. And we can read in Scripture the things that they have done. And the changes that they have made in other people's lives because they were willing to leave the worldly stuff so that they could come home to Christ. And as Pat was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We struggle because we still like the old. And we like the new. And we try to compromise the two living together. But God says, no. You are a new creation. And that's who you are. The old is dead. Right? Those past sins that you've done, you're dead. You can't even be prosecuted for those because you can't prosecute a dead person. That's how God sees you. Right? All of your old worldly stuff is gone. He sees the new creation in you, your love for Him, and your drive to do the things to serve Him versus serving yourself. And you can't mix the two. You literally have to leave home to come home. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for this word here today, and I just ask that you continue to put on our hearts that which you want it to be. We all have a desire to serve you, and sometimes we find difficulty in that, knowing very clearly how to do it, what to do, why to do it, and what is the consequences of doing that. That's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. So Father, I pray that you give us the ability, the faith, to do your work. And though we don't always see the end product of it, we can definitely know that your way is right because you just are right. We pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.